Okey-doke. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard. All right, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 MHz. It's a meter repeater at the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. The repeater is located in Pearl River, New York, serves northern New Jersey, the Lower Hudson Valley, New York City, and southwestern Connecticut. All stations are welcome to participate in this net. We also have an Echolink access of Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta dash L, Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Kilo Delta dash Lima. And just for reference, if you don't have it, the PL is 151.4 for this repeater, 151.4. The offset is minus 600 for the 146.835 output. So, with no further ado, I should probably explain what this net's about. This net's about having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, and the natural arts and sciences that underlie our beautiful hobby. And, of course, some of our operating experiences, things we want to do, things we have done, and things we never want to do again. And, of course, it's also an opportunity to engage in for sale swapper wanted items, so keep that in mind as well. So, with no delay, let's get to it. Station Zeus call signs begin with the letter Alpha. Please call K2BAR.
This is Alpha Lima Zero Yankee, Ali from Wayne. Good evening.
Good, Ali. Good evening. Anybody else? Alpha call. Okay, how about November, Kilos. Alright, nothing heard, November's. Whiskeys.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and comment.
Okay, Bob, very good. Any other whiskeys?
WP2, TQT, Oregon, Oregon, and also have a comment.
Okay, Art, very good. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys? I'm glad the Oradell paroled you guys. Any stations on the Echolink? Okay, nothing heard there. Any other stations wishing to check into the Bergen Amateur Association Technical Net? Please call K2BAR. All right, well, let's get to it. WA2ISC, your ball from K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, WA2ISC. Oh, my comment was about my having to set my radio. It's a Kenwood TS-271, I think it is. In any event, that's the modern rig. I had to set it so the receive on this particular frequency is by the PL tone, because just with regular receive, I was picking up a lot of stray bursts of noise and whatnot from probably a distant repeater or something that kept breaking the squelch and making a lot of noise and cutting in and out. But now I just depend on this repeater's PL tone to unsquelch my radio. Over.
NJ2BS, repeat.
So I'm a little confused. You decode the transmitted PL on your receiver, and that's how you listen to this repeater. That makes perfect sense. So what's new and different?
Most channels on this radio, well, before I had this just receiving anything that broke the squelch by way of RF, signal strength, but I was getting bursts of noise from, I guess, a reasonably distant signal, or I think there's another repeater on this frequency pair that I was sort of picking up, but not clearly. I think it's something UHF repeater, I think was the call sign. To avoid having annoying bursts of noise, I set this radio on this particular frequency to only unsquelch when the PL tone is present. Over.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. That way you're not getting jabber-jawed by all kinds of nonsense. Alrighty. That's a cool thing. Yeah, I tend to operate tone squelch only when I absolutely have to. Cases like the one you mentioned where you're just getting the squelch breaking and it's annoying. Yeah, then you have to do something about it. I first tried to just turn up the squelch, you know, the carrier squelch and see if that works. But I kind of like listening to the out-of-town repeaters, so it kind of works for me, but I understand why you'd want to do it, and upon occasion I do that as well. So, let's see. Anybody else have any tales of carrier versus tone squelch?
Gordon, for some reason, I guess if the noise gets a little high on your received signal, the repeater will end up just getting squelch gaps in the transmission rather than noise underneath your voice. So, over.
You're hearing that now?
Yeah, pretty much. It's brief dropouts, but I guess if the noise signal to noise gets poor, I guess the radio gives up.
What I'm transmitting?
Well, you're solid now, but before you were cutting in and out a little bit.
Well, either A, I had a lazy phone, or B, there's something going on when the other transmitter comes on with APRS. I'll have to watch that. The engine's running, so I got plenty of voltage, so I don't know. I'll just watch for that, and keep a strong thumb going. But thank you for that observation, Bob. One other thing is, if you run a 100.0 tone, 144.39, that can be used as an emergency call frequency for voice. People do that as well. Just keep that in mind. So, if you don't want to listen to the endless packets going back and forth for APRS, but you want to have somebody listening, and you want to be that person listening, you can throw a 100.0 hertz decode on your receiver and away you go. Any other thoughts on carrier squelch versus tone squelch?
Okay, Gordon. I was just thinking maybe the repeater stops transmitting the PL tone when the signal to noise ratio gets lower than a certain threshold. I don't know why they'd want to do that, but just a guess.
I'm thinking it's lazy thumb syndrome.
Okay. Anyway, K2BAR is WA2IC.
Yeah, K2BAR, W2DDD, yeah. I should say lazy thumb fatigue syndrome. TFS.
Yeah, little Wally with a question.
Good, Ollie.
Okay, I actually do the BL tone squelch as well on my radio on some repeaters. And I noticed that when I do the BL squelch that I don't hear the repeater ID almost on all the repeaters that I set up this way. And I was questioning why doesn't the BL get generated when the repeater is IDing itself. It doesn't bother me, except that sometimes I step on the repeater while it's IDing. I just want to know why is that kind of the practice that everybody's using with the repeaters. No BL phone while it's IDing.
Well, okay, there's a couple of reasons. One is that some people don't want to listen to the PL. The other thing is that people are using Echolink or remote bases and such. The repeater call sign will come out on the other repeaters that are tied to the Echolink connection. And some people have speculated somewhat in error, by the way. Oh, no, no, you can't have your ID come across because now you're IDing another repeater with your call sign, and people get all their knickers in a knot over that, too. I don't think that's a valid concern, but if nothing else, it tells you what repeater was tied to another repeater during a certain time that you heard it. And that's nothing wrong with that, so who knows? Who knows? But, you know, those are the real reasons, either convenience or some perceived regulatory compliance thing.
Oh, K2BAR, Gordon, for some reason, I heard the same thing when Allie was on the repeater, that occasionally I would get the same kind of dropouts. So I don't think it's your lazy thumb. There must be something else happening. WA2IC.
I heard Allie clean all the way through.
Okay, it must be my radio then.
That's interesting. I'll keep an eye on that. We'll all keep an eye on that for that characteristic. Allie, you want to say something else?
No, Gordon, that's just thanks for your answer. The Echolink is probably a valid argument, but thank you anyway. I keep my eye on the what you call it, the S meter on the radio, so I know, even though I'm not hearing that the channel is busy, so I just wait sometimes.
Gotcha. Okay. Alrighty. Anybody else with comments?
Maybe the PL tone is not always transmitting on the repeater. I don't know what will cause that, but just a guess. WA2IC.
That's possible, Bob. I know it doesn't come out during repeater IDs, so I do know that. Okay. Any more on this topic?
NJ2BS, repeat.
All right, let's go on. WB2TQT, Art, what's your subject tonight?
K2BAR, WB2TQT for ID. Let's see, well, first of all, let me say, Gordon, you are noisy. You're actually sounding like you're mobile at times, and there was one point there you did drop out, and Ollie is also a little noisy too, but not as bad as you. But Gordon, you're fading in and out. The other thing I wanted to comment on is if anybody needs a number 6 gauge 3-conductor extension cord, I believe it's SO type. I got a big coil of it. I believe it's about 175 foot. I will either sell it by the foot or by the entire roll or however somebody may need it. Bought it thinking I was going to use it and wound up with actually more of it and didn't actually remove any more than what was already removed on that roll. And the other thing is I still have my Drake Beatline that I haven't put any effort into trying to move it yet, but that I would be willing to hopefully unregrettably sell it. I don't know, maybe someday I'd like to try it again, but if anybody's interested in that, they can contact me, find me on the net once in a while. Let's see, what else? One other item. I noticed Barra bought a 2-meter amplifier at the Fairlawn auction. Somebody mentioned to me that it's a repeater-type amplifier that's set and used basically just for one frequency. And I think the game plan was to use that on contest day. If it's just one frequency, I don't know how well that's going to make, so I don't know if anybody has any comments on that, including you, Gordon, but let me turn it back to Net Control, K2BAR, WB2TQT.
All right, let's take this in reverse order. So it was a 350-watt amplifier, solid-state linear amp. It can be used detect anywhere in the 2 meter band. It's a, if I remember it, it was a lunar link. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Anyway, bottom line is I had one of the 300 watt models when they, before they went to 350, and they're outstanding amplifiers. I had one for 6 and one for 2, and I would strongly recommend them. They are very nice amps. So no worries about that whatsoever. Not at all. And then other than the fact it was used as a repeater amp, but I don't think it got a lot of use, and ultimately the repeater was taken down because most of the operators in that particular organization operate UHF repeaters, if at all. So that, you know, it's not a big deal. I think it'll be just fine for our needs, and save us having to lug a tube amplifier around. Just got to bring now a big iron power supply. So I think that part's good. As far as my signal goes, hopefully it's better. I moved the vehicle a few inches, and hopefully that'll help. I am mobile, but I am fixed. I have not moved during this, except for the one movement after I made you made the comment. I think the going in and going out might be airplane interference from airplanes going out of Newark. That can definitely cause some airplane fading, as they call it. I forgot what the other subject was. Oh, you had a question about your, well, you're still trying to sell your Drake Beeline. That's an awesome radio. What was the cable that you had, Art?
It's a number 6 gauge, 3 conductor extension cord, SO type. The last time I measured it was about 175 foot in the coil. And if anybody can use such a cord, I can sell it by the foot or sell it by the entire roll at a greatly reduced price from what you would pay for it at an electrical supply house.
I don't know how much I need, but that's actually a really good idea. I might actually have an application for that. What's the diameter of the cable?
Well, because it's SO, it's like heavy-duty stuff. This is a guess. I'm going to say maybe an inch or something like that. Don't forget, it's number 6 gauge, too, so it's, you know, pretty heavy-duty stuff. And I think, from what I remember, going to amusement parks, you know, these amusement parks, that traveling amusement parks that go from one state to another, town to town, and they lay stuff, cords out across the field, and you see these big, heavy cords. I believe that's what they use. They use the SO. I think they're rated for outdoor use, too, back to net.
Yeah, that sounds excellent. Yeah, I might want to just consider that. So we'll see. I will take it under advisement, because that's a really kind of cool cable. Anybody else have any comments for Art?
It's K2BAR, W82ISE. Well, something a heavy cable like that could be useful for, say, field day, where you're trying to distribute 12 volts DC to various stations, and being heavy cable, you'd have a lower voltage drop. Over.
Significantly lower voltage drop. Three conductors are number 6 SO, so that's stranded, and it's heavy duty, so that's pretty awesome. Anybody else have comments for Art?
Sorry, guys. Looks like I just changed frequency by mistake. Are you copying me?
Yeah, we were talking about your cable, your radio, and miscellaneous other things before that. So, yeah. How much did you hear and how much did you miss, Art?
I don't know, because inadvertently pressed the wrong button on my mic, and it has so many buttons on it, it's it's hard not to press the right button when you want to hit the right button. So I realized I was on a different frequency. So I realized that nobody was actually copying. But what I was starting to say was I bought this roll years ago at an auction, and I had intentions of using it as an extension cord for an electric arc welder that I have, and I wound up finding another shorter section. I already cut the size that I picked up, and never had to cut any off the big roll. The roll that this thing is on is probably, 20 inches or 2 foot in diameter, something like that. But there is some missing from it. I don't know how many foot was in that roll. But that roll, that 175 foot of it, it weighs quite a bit, I can tell you that much. Back to net.
Oh, I'm sure. That's pretty cool stuff. I'm trying to think what I would use it for. I can think of a couple of applications. Ground leads and DC power in particular. Although you can use it for AC as well, obviously, but DC power where you wanted to move things around a little bit from time to time, that would be really, really good. Really, really good. If you have an RV, you don't mind a really heavy cord. That'll be quite the extension cord for the RV. Hi. Anybody else have comments? All right. Well, Art, that's actually good material to know about one way or the other. But you got 175 feet of it, and you're willing to chop pieces, so that's all good. I'm going to think about that because there might be some things I might want to do. All right, back to you, Art.
Yeah, okay, K2BAR, WB2, TQT. Can't think much more of technical things that I have to that come to mind. Just kind of trying to digest my dinner that Bob and myself was at, the Oradell Christmas dinner. They had a smaller turnout than what they normally would have, and we actually picked out. I mean, really, really, really picked out. We had three helpings. So we probably won't eat for a few days, but that's okay. The food there was excellent, and we enjoyed it, and Bob and myself had a chance to talk about M Radio and some projects, and that was about it. I got home earlier than I thought I would get home. I didn't realize that this holiday party was starting at the hour that it was starting. It started at 4. It's for senior citizens, basically, from town. So all was good with that, and now we're back on the radio. So other than that, can't think of anything else to technically to add to or speak about, so I'll turn it back to net control. If something comes up of interest to me, I might jump back in. So K2BAR, WB2TQT.
K2BAR, WA2IC. Yeah, we were eating like it was back in college days. Anyway, back to net.
Okay. Very good, gentlemen. So, is this like a town-wide dinner and anybody can come as long as they let the town know? It's, you know, can you bring you and your spouse and your 9 kids, too, if you want? What's the deal there?
Yeah, K2BAR. It's just for people over 55 who live in the town, and I guess you can bring your wife. I didn't see all that many kids there, though.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, let's say, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, you showing up with your parents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they only started doing this 2 years ago.
Ah, I see. That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it. Sounds like a nice thing. I know Montvale does the same thing. My town does not. But we have two senior citizens clubs, at least, that I know of. Both actually meet at St. John's. Only one is affiliated with St. John's, but two of them, the two meet on alternate Fridays in the same place. One is called the Golden Age, and I forget what the other one's called. I could say yet another old fart society. I don't know. Oh, that could be a ham radio club, too. Sorry. But anyway, it's all good. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Alrighty. Any other comments, questions, confusions for the net tonight?
No, but I should add, Gordon, that when you made that move, your signal now is 100% better.
Well, yeah, I went from the bottom of the parking lot to Schuyler Avenue and then over to Ridge Road. You know where it's still Route 17?
Oh, for some reason, I don't know why, I thought maybe you were at home.
Yeah, so did I, but Jeremy had that 7:30 game, and so I figured, well, the Aries net as I drive home or drive about wherever I'm going, and then we'll finish up with the tech net. That's pretty much what we're doing. We're on our way to a store to grab something that Nancy needs for her Saturday business exercise. I should point out that on Saturday, they're doing a Chris Mass brass thing at St. John's. What time is that, Nancy? You know? The concert starts at 4, but I think the doors open like at 2 or 3, something like that, over in St. John's Collin Hall in Bergenfield on Saturday. So you're more than welcome to come. Benefits, various needy folks, and I think the scouts too, I think are part of the deal here. I forget, but I do know they're also doing a food drive, so bring food, non-perishables, and the lake there. Alrighty. I've been messing with portable kits, so one of the things I've been doing is trying to make more efficient mechanically and electrically a backpack mesh node set up, and I basically have it set up so that it has a router board, and the router board has a USB port that can provide power as well as communications, but the mesh node software and the router board does not allow it to communicate through that port. In fact, that port is essentially useless, but it does provide power, which is switchable. So what I was thinking of doing, actually, was to take that router board power switch and our power port and use it to power a cellular modem. And I got that to work the other day pretty darn well, and that's a good thing. So the next thing we're going to do, let me make sure I'm in a good spot. Yeah, I'm in a good spot. So with that in mind, now that I got it working to provide power to the modem, I'm going to see if I can take the battery out of the modem and use the software switch in the router board to turn on and off power going to the USB port so I can disable the modem when I want to. That would be wicked cool to do, and I'm hoping that works out.
I'm reasonably confident that it'll work for a running modem. My question is, will the modem initialize if I just apply power with or without a battery attached? And I don't think so, and that's a bit of a trigger. So I am pretty sure that if I can get it to work and come up with a battery in it, and I take the battery out and I want to drop power, I can do that at my will. But the problem then is going to be how to get the modem to turn back on when I reapply power and without a battery. So number one, you know, what's going to be effectively the pushing the power button on the modem? And number two, I believe the cellular modem requires that you have the battery in place as part of its health check. So that's a little problematic, because I'd like not to have that modem there for a couple of reasons. One is it adds weight, and number two, that in extreme heat or cold, I don't want to have to babysit that battery. So we'll find out, but at least I know I can power the modem from the router board, and that's a huge milestone I'm very happy about. Any comments, questions, confusions? Okay, well, the whole point of that is to be able to build a mesh go kit, so you can establish a mesh network in an area and then connect it to the internet. That was the whole point of the whole adventure. So we shall see. Anyway, pardon. So any other topics for the net tonight? Okay guys, well, 73, and have a good one. Thank you for coming by, and we'll talk later. This is K2BAR W2TTT signing clear, and returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. 99.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
N2CYY, listening.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
N2CYY, listening.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
WB2UUD Mobile, with me.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. Use PL 151.4.